This is Chris Slade, former University of Virginia defensive end, graduate of 1993, back on the staff at UVA. Excited to be back coaching my old stomping grounds. You're listening to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show.
Welcome to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show. I'm Chris Graham. I get to introduce Jerry Ratcliffe, and Jerry has found us yet another very special guest.
Thank you guys for tuning in again for our podcast today. And we have one of the guys I've have incredible respect for and always have. Go back to the early 80s when he was a member of Terry Holland's basketball staff and Final Four credentials there, and had an incredible coaching career afterwards at three schools. And just a guy I really love and enjoy listening to, and I know all the Wahoo fans do too. So welcome in Seth Greenberg, top analyst for ESPN basketball. Seth, I know you're down in Auburn territory for a game. Hope everything's well.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting day tomorrow. And we're going to have our game day show right before this tip-off. So literally show goes from 11 to 12, and then the game starts at noon. So we're going to be on the court as they're warming up, kind of a unique environment. Obviously, the great energy in the room, and Auburn's playing really well. So it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's a good one. Virginia fans know how exciting game days are. So, yeah, it's a great environment. Let's talk a little Wahoo basketball. Seth, you know, Virginia struggled for a while. We know, as you well pointed out, that nobody knew where the scoring was going to come from this year, and the defense wasn't up to the normal Tony Bennett standards. But they've kept working and chipping away at it, and you know, now they're in sixth place. They've beaten two of the teams in front of them in the past week over a matter of 3 days. What do you think of this Virginia team? You think they can continue to play at that level for the rest of the down the home stretch here?
Yeah, it's really interesting because they're not the defensive team that they've been in the past. And offensively, they don't have the number of shot makers. Like everyone talks about, you know, embrace the pace. And like the greatest thing that Tony does, obviously, besides how hard they play and how well conceived they are offensively, is that, you know, they can run, they run offense until they get the shot they want. But at the end of that, they've had pros. I'm not sure this team has pros. So they're, you know, they're getting similar type shots, maybe not as many curls and pocket passes, but, at the end of that, execution, they don't have enough shot makers. Now, I do think they've improved defensively some in the last 3 weeks or 2 weeks. Obviously, Reese making that shot is a huge confident boost. They've had different guys step up, which I think is important. But they have a very small margin of error because they have a number of losses on their schedule that are going to work against you. And, you know, when you look at the field this year and the ACC this year, they're not going to have a ton of opportunities to improve their resume. And certain games just don't even help you. Like, you know, I'm not sure Pitt helps you. Or Boston College doesn't help you. Louisville doesn't help you like it would normally do. You know, it could be a quad one win. So they've got some work ahead of them, but they're playing much better. I think they've been much more alert defensively than but they did a great job against Duke. You know, I've always believed to beat Duke, you've got to run offense to move them, to drive them. And I thought they did a really good job of getting in the lane. I mean, they had 52 pay points. They weren't on post-ups. They had a couple on curls and pockets, but mostly they were on getting the ball to the glass, getting to the offensive glass, and then getting to the rim. So, and then I thought defensively their game plan was really good. I thought it really, really doubling the post really bothered people a lot. They did a great job on that. And I thought they were a little physical with Banchero, who when you defend and get up into him, if you don't give him space to play with the ball, he's not as good. It's almost disappointing. He's got a little bit of Jabari Parker in him a little bit, and that he kind of melts a little bit against physicality.
That's one thing that maybe with the lack of other things this team has, Tony has really emphasized over the past, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks, playing rugged physical basketball. And they have been pretty physical. Most of their opposing coaches have mentioned that, how physical the games were.
Virginia's always physical. I mean, like, you know, everyone looks at Tony and he's got that choir boy look on his face and he's so evenly keeled and polished and handles adversity probably better than any coach in America. But don't let that fool you. So was Tony Dungy. And he's fiercely, fiercely competitive. And his teams play a very physical brand of basketball and have a physicality to them. Their good teams were really crazy physical. And their bigs are getting, you know, obviously Shedrick is getting a little bit more, but Garfino was Garfino the big?
Cafaro.
Cafaro gives him obviously a physicality to him. And look, Kihei's got a physicality to his pressure on the basketball, beating him with his length. So, I mean, they've got pieces that can get up into you, and that's how he wants them to play. I mean, there's a small margin of error, and you've got to steal possessions, and you got to be physical, and you got to get stops, you got to disrupt rhythm, and you got to take the other team's best player out of the game.
Yeah, that's one thing they're pretty good at.
Hey, this is Thomas Q. Jones, former UVA All-American running back, and you're listening to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show. Wahoo wah.
I was going to ask Seth about the ACC as a whole. Outside of Duke, you know, you've got Wake Forest playing well, North Carolina's playing well of late, Miami, Notre Dame. But this isn't the ACC of past. What can we think of as the last couple weeks roll out here in the regular season, head towards Brooklyn ACC tournament? What teams have work still to do outside of Duke? I mean, maybe even
everyone. Wake
Forest, everybody. Okay.
Yeah, I think Wake Forest is in pretty good shape. I think he's done a great job. He did a great job in the portal. Getting those two guys have really been good for him. Jake Larivia and Alondis have been terrific. And even Dallas Walton's been very, very good for them. But like North Carolina got their first quad win last night while they were sleeping. You know, with Michigan beating Purdue. That was huge for North Carolina because I don't think there's ever been an at-large team that didn't have a quad one win that made the NCAA tournament as an at-large. So but they've got work to do. Notre Dame's just got to, you know, the problem with Notre Dame is their schedule's soft. Then you can't afford to lose any of those games. Miami's kind of struggling a little bit right now. People have, I wouldn't say figuring them out, but there's so much pressure on those guards to make plays, make shots. But after that, I mean, look, I mean, the league is the league. Last 4 years, fourth, fifth, and sixth rated league in college basketball. That's the truth. That's not me. That's Kempom. So, I mean, recruiting's got to improve some. Team's got to take care of business. Your non-conference is like defending the post. You don't do your work early, you're in trouble. And the league has not done their work in the non-conference. And the league is now paying the price for that.
Why do you think that is? They were so successful with their formulas before, and now it seems like it's
shifting. Well, there's more teams that are invested in college basketball.
Well,
yes, he's made a huge investment in college basketball. The Big 12's made a huge investment, done a great job with the transfer portal. The Big East has found its niche again, recruiting. So I think there are more schools that have made significant investments. Like when Mike Slott took over as commissioner of the SEC, he said, we're going to make basketball good. And they invested in it. And then, you know, the other thing is they're a little bit behind the curve in terms of NIL. I'm not sure that the ACC was ready for NIL. And let's face it, and I joked around on this on game day the other day. I said, you know what, the SEC is at NIL forever. It's just legal now. And I mean, so they're behind the eight ball when it comes to recruiting a little bit. People going into states that the ACC resides in and getting players. That didn't happen.
Yeah, that's a very good point. What do you think Virginia has to do? They're 9-5 in the league, 15-9 overall. They have a couple of quad one wins now. They play Duke, Miami, and Florida State and Virginia Tech down the stretch, and then Georgia Tech this weekend. They got to win.
Yeah, they got to win. They got to win. They got to win 4 or 5.
That's really,
my gut feeling. Wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, so you know, you say Duke, or that's an opportunity. Miami would be obviously huge because that would get you a sweep. Virginia Tech. And it's not a play-in game because everyone's resume stands on its own. But you know, Virginia Tech's on the outside looking in as well. Now, Virginia Tech doesn't have as many bad losses. Probably don't have as many good wins. Like that Providence win is really big for Virginia. Really, really big for Virginia. That's one of their best wins. So you know, those are their two big quad one wins, obviously. So, I mean, you know, this time of the year, what do they have? Six games left, seven games left?
Six games left.
Six.
Yeah, six games left. It's a six-game season. And then you can't get bopped early in the tournament. So, you know, I think you got to, you know, Georgia Tech is a push. There's no positive or negative on that. You know, you've got Miami's an opportunity. Duke's an opportunity. Virginia Tech's an opportunity. Who are the other two?
Florida State and Louisville.
Florida State and Louisville. Louisville's, you know, is you know, a 100 in that. I mean, that doesn't help you.
Right.
And Florida State's sinking, you know, sinking like the Titanic.
That's true. They're 6-7, 13-10. Yeah. That's.
Yeah. And they got a Duke win. I mean, but I mean, you know, they've played themselves out, you know, when, and that just shows you one player, you get one player banged up and Malik Osborne goes out and it kind of messes with their rotation and they struggle. And that's the problem in our sport. One guy, whether it's his leadership, his maturity, his toughness, his ability to coach the locker room, all those things, you take that player out of the equation and that impacts the rest of the team great, more significantly than that individual player's productivity. And that's what people don't understand. You know, there's so much more that goes into it.
Rick?
Yeah, I was going to ask about the Florida State. I mean, they got the two wins over Miami. And does that hurt Miami, the fact that now Florida State is tanking a bit? And not just them, but, you know, Miami's schedule also has some issues. What does Miami have to do down the stretch here?
Yeah, it goes back to the same thing. You can't have a bad loss, and you got to get good wins. I mean, you know, it's funny. I mean, my last year, we beat Duke and Carolina and beat Penn State, who was in turn. We had, I don't know, we had six or seven quad one wins. And they made us, our loss at Clemson, who made the tournament, they said that was a bad loss. And then they had a bad loss actually was to Boston College with Reggie Jackson, who's been a 10-year pro, was a bad loss. And they were a 20 wins team. And then we lost to Virginia that year, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, you know, they're going to decide what they want to do now. I mean, that's just the way it is. Now, you know, you look at you know, the selection, you know, the Big Ten's going to get seven teams. The Big 12's going to get six or seven teams. The Pac is probably only going to get three. You know what I mean? The Big East is going to get six or seven. The Mountain West could get three or four. So now all of a sudden that field shrinks a little bit. So, I mean, you know, the biggest thing is no magic formula. Don't have a bad loss and find a way to rack up a good win. You know, we thought we had that, you know, again, that last year when, you know, when we, you know, we won a couple games in the tournament. You know, we beat Georgia Tech, then we beat Florida State. Florida State was a tournament team. We beat them in a tournament on a neutral court. We thought we were in, and then we lost to Duke, and then we were out. So, you know, there are a lot of errors.
You guys should have been in that year. No question, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of variables, but the biggest thing is to take care of business. You know, the most important thing is what's right in front of you. You know, take care of business, what's in front of you. You know, have both feet firmly planted in the task at hand. Don't get caught up in what other people do. Because, look, every team has a bracketologist. I guarantee it's someone at Virginia, whether it's a manager, whether it's a walk-on, whether it's someone in coach's office, whether it's trainer, someone's a bracketologist. Someone's, you know, you can't hide from it. But if you get so caught up in that, you lose track of what you're doing in that moment in time. And I think that's where, quite honestly, both Mike Young and Tony are really good. They deal with the task at hand, what's in front of them right now in this moment in time.
Yeah. All right, brother. We know you got to run over to Auburn, over to Timber's Corner.
I got to save this voice a little bit from being sick and having food poisoning and all that acid in my throat is kind of beating me up a little bit, but always a pleasure. I always appreciate your friendship and the kind words, Jerry, really do.
Well, thank you, Seth. And I hope you feel better and get your voice back in its golden shape that it always is. Thank you, brother, for your time.
All right, we appreciate it. You guys be safe. Right.
Thank you.
You too.
Looking for a great dining experience in Charlottesville? Look no further than the Aberdeen Barn. The barn has been family-owned and operated since 1965, with Terry and Angela providing great atmosphere and mouth-watering food at Virginia's Big Time Steakhouse. Enjoy the fine dining or relax in the Sportsman's Bar, a fantastic place to wind down and socialize, surrounded by flat-screen televisions, tuned to the latest sporting events. You never know who you might bump into at the Aberdeen Barn, where all the greatest Cavaliers have dined over the decades and keep coming back for the delicious menu and good times. Check it out online at aberdeenbarn.com or call 434-296-4630.